Against the background of the hills and streetlights of Los Angeles, searchlights illuminate a huge Art Deco sign of sculpted letters that spell out Fox Searchlight Pictures, a News Corporation company. In black capital letters outlined in white, the word autumn appears in the right-hand corner of the screen. Beneath it, a low-rise bungalow perched on a gentle slope looks out over an uneven lawn under a cloudy sky. A teenage girl with short brown hair tied back in a small ponytail swigs from a liter-sized plastic bottle as she contemplates an armchair standing on the lawn in front of her.
It started with a chair. Wow.
In flashback, the girl steps out of her knickers and walks slowly across a room towards a skinny boy, sitting bare-chested in the same armchair. Wearing just a t-shirt, the girl gives a tentative smile as she straddles the boy's lap and brings her rosebud-lipped mouth close to his face.
I've wanted this for a really long time.
I know.
Wizard.
The girl stops the boy's mouth with a tender kiss.
Jeez, Banana, shut your friggin' gob, okay?
The shaggy blonde dog does what it's told.
This is the most magnificent discarded living room set I've ever seen.
The girl takes a swig of juice and wipes her mouth on the sleeve of her hoodie.
If I was a flower growing wild and free, all I'd want is you to be my sweet honeybee. And if I was a tree growing tall and green, all I'd want is you to shade me and be my leaves.
The girl, walking along a street of neat suburban houses in her red top, jeans and sneakers, becomes an animated drawing of herself. Fox Searchlight Pictures presents a Mandate Pictures Mr. Mud production, a Jason Reitman film, Juno.
If I was a flower growing wild and free, all I'd want is you to be my sweet honeybee. And if I was a tree growing tall and green, all I'd want is you to shade me and be my leaves.
Starring Ellen Page as Juno.
All I want is you, will you be my bride? Take me by the hand and stand by my side. All I want is you, will you stay with me? Hold me in your arms and sway me like the sea.
With Michael Cera, Jennifer Garner, Jason Bateman, Allison Janney, J.K. Simmons, Olivia Thirlby. The animated Juno walks down a back alley along a row of shops and then along a woodland path, all sketched in simple line drawings.
If you were a river and the mountains tall, the rumble of your water would be my call. If you were the winter, I know I'd be the snow, just as long as you were with me when the cold winds blow. All I want is you, will you be my bride? Take me by the hand and stand by my side. All I want is you, will you stay with me? Hold me in your arms and sway me like the sea. If you were a wink, I'd be a nod. If you were a seed, well, I'd be a pod. If you were a floor, I'd wanna be the rug. And if you were a kiss, I know I'd be a hug. All I want is you, will you be my bride? Take me by the hand and stand by my side. All I want is you, will you stay with me? Hold me in your arms and sway me like the sea. If you were the wood, I'd be the fire. If you were the love, I'd be the desire. If you were a castle, I'd be your moat. And if you were an ocean, I'd learn to float. All I want is you, will you be my bride? Take me by the hand and stand by my side. All I want is you, will you stay with me? Hold me in your arms and sway me like the sea.
Music by Matteo Messina. Songs by Kenya Dawson. Written by Diablo Cody and directed by Jason Reitman. Juno, quickening, takes another swig, and as the drawing becomes flesh and blood again, she tosses the bottle into a bin and goes into a drugstore.
Well, well, if it isn't McGuff the crime dog. Back for another test?
She picks up a pregnancy kit.
I think the first one was defective. The plus sign looks more like a division symbol, so I remain unconvinced.
She reaches for the washroom key.
Third test today, Mama Bear. Your ego is prego. No doubt about it.
It's really easy to tell. Is your nipples real brown?
Yeah. Maybe your little boyfriend's got mutant sperms, knocked you up twice.
Silencio, old man! Look, I just drank my weight in Sunny D, and I gotta go pronto.
Well, you know where the lavatory is.
He hands her the key.
You pay for that pee stick when you're done. Don't think it's yours just because you marked it with your urine.
In the washroom, she unzips her jeans, and sitting down on the lavatory seat, she opens the pregnancy detection kit and brings out a narrow, paddle-shaped stick and puts it into position. She pulls the stick out and gives it a cursory look, then hurries back through the store towards the counter.
Surprise. prognosis, Fertile Myrtle? Minus or plus?
Don't know, it's not seasoned yet. Take some of these.
She slaps a pack of sweets onto the counter and gazes at the test.
No, there it is. That little pink plus sign is so unholy.
She shakes it.
That ain't no Etch-a-Sketch. This is one doodle that can't be undid, Holmes Gillett.
She rolls her eyes at the counter clerk and leaves the store. Stick in one hand, packet of rope candy in the other. Her expression is suddenly forlorn.
I took the Polaroid down in my room. I'm pretty sure you have a new girlfriend. It's not as if I don't like you. It just makes me sad whenever I see it. 'Cause I like to be gone most of the time.
Juno slings the rope candy onto the branch of a tree and makes a noose.
A pretty impossible lady to be with. Joey never met a bike that he didn't want to ride. And I never met a Toby that I didn't like.
Scotty, she bites into the licorice rope and wanders off home.
Even if he didn't, I wouldn't be offended.
In her cluttered bedroom, the light switch doubles as a doll's penis. Naked dolls are clustered on the mantelpiece. There's a photo of Bleeker playing his guitar.
I had a dream that I had to drive to Madison to deliver a painting for some silly reason.
Juno dials a number on her hamburger-shaped phone. A girl lying on her bed with a rabbit on her chest answers.
Yo, yo, yiggity, yo.
I'm a suicide risk.
Juno?
No, it's Morgan Freeman. Do you have any bones that need collecting?
Only the one in my pants.
I'm pregnant.
What? Honest blog?
Yeah. Yeah, it's Bleeker's.
It's probably just a food baby. Did you have a big lunch?
No, this is not a food baby, all right? I've taken like 3 pregnancy tests and I am for shiz up the spout.
How did you even generate enough pee for 3 pregnancy tests? That's amazing.
I don't know, I drank like 10 tons of Sunny D. Anyway, dude, I'm telling you I'm pregnant and you're acting shockingly cavalier.
Is this for real? Like, for real, for real?
Unfortunately, yes.
Oh my God. Oh shit!
Phuket, Thailand.
There we go.
That was kind of the emotion that I was searching for on the first take.
So, are you gonna go to Havenbrook or Women Now? 'Cause you know you need a note from your parents for Havenbrook.
Yeah, I know. No, I'm gonna go to Women Now, just 'cause they help out women now.
Hey, do you want me to call for you? 'Cause I called for Becky last year.
No, I can call myself. Oh, but I do need your help with something. It's like critically important.
They pick up the armchair.
You know, heavy lifting can really only help you at this point.
Seriously.
So you were bored? That's how this blessed miracle came to be?
No. The act was premeditated. I mean, the sex, not the whole, like, let's get pregnant thing.
So, when did you decide that you were gonna, do Bleeker?
The armchair is shoved into the back of a car.
A year ago in Spanish class?
Bleeker hands Juno a note and she beams.
You love him.
It's really complicated, okay? And I don't feel like talking about it in my fragile state.
So what was it like, humping Bleek's bony bod?
Magnificent.
Bleeker dons brown and yellow sports kit.
'Cause he gets up in the morning, and he goes to work at 9. And he comes back home at 5:30, gets the same train every time. 'Cause his world is built on punctuality, it never fails. And he's all so good, and he's all so fine, and he's all so healthy in his body and his mind. He's a well-respected man about town, doing the best thing so concerned.
Hey, Bleek.
Juno's sitting in the armchair on his front lawn.
Wicked tiger.
On a rug.
He looks proud.
I swiped it from his Rancic's lawn. Wow, your shorts are like especially gold today.
My mom uses color-safe bleach.
Go Carol.
I'll tell her.
A posse of runners in brown and yellow come by.
When I see them all running like that, with their things bouncing around in their shorts, I always picture them naked, even if I don't want to. All I see is pork swords.
I'm supposed to be running.
So guess what?
What? I don't know.
Juno lowers her eyes.
I'm pregnant.
Beneath his yellow sweatband, Bleeker's eyes cross, and what little colour there was in his pale cheeks washes away. Juno blinks unhappily. Bleeker swallows.
What should we do? That...
Well, you know, I was thinking I'd just nip it in the bud before it gets worse. Because they were talking about in health class how pregnancy, it can often lead to an infant.
Typically, yeah. That's what happens when our moms and teachers get pregnant.
So you're cool with that then?
Yeah, Wizard. I mean, you know, just, I guess, do whatever you think you should do, you know?
A thin smile flashes across Juno's heart-shaped face, and she claps a pipe between her teeth.
Well, I'm sorry I had sex with you. I know it wasn't, like, your idea.
Whose idea was it?
I'll see you at school, all right?
She gets on her bike and rides off, leaving Bleeker clutching his sandwich.
Whose idea was it?
Juno cycles up to Dancing Elk School. She parks her bike and secures it with a chain lock. She makes her way past the oncoming throng of students, most of them taller than her, and reaches her locker. The locker door is plastered with photos and cuttings. She pulls out a folder and some pages fall to the floor as a boy comes by.
Your book fell apart.
Right?
Just looked at your face.
The funny thing is that Steve Randazzo secretly wants me. Jocks like him always want freaky girls. Girls with horn-rimmed glasses and vegan footwear and goth makeup. Girls who, like, play the cello and read McSweeney's and want to be children's librarians when they grow up. Oh, yeah. Jocks totally eat that shit up. They just won't admit it because they're supposed to be into, like, the perfect cheerleaders, you know? Like Leah, who incidentally is into teachers.
Me too. I love Woody Allen.
Juno grins at her friend talking to a fat, bearded teacher in class.
All right, people, we're doing chromatography lab today. So find your partners and break into groups of four.
Bleeker swallows some Tic Tacs as Juno appears by his side, clutching her folders. Another boy stands on the other side of the work table.
Well, there's nothing like experimenting.
I did the prep questions for this lab last night, so you can just copy my answers.
I couldn't copy your work.
You copy my work every week.
True. I'm kind of a deadbeat lab partner, and
No, I don't mind. I think you definitely bring something to the table.
Charisma.
A second girl turns up.
So who's ready for some chromomagnificence?
Yeah, I have a menstrual migraine, so I can't really look at bright lights today.
Amanda, I told you to go to the infirmary and lie down. You never listen.
No, Josh, because I don't take orders. Not from you and not from any man.
No, you've been acting like this ever since I got back from visiting my brother in Mankato. I already told you. Nothing happened.
Well, I'm going to set up the apparatus. Juno, do you want to plug in the Bunsen burner?
It's my pleasure.
I'm going to the infirmary.
Good. Call me when you get off the rag.
Fine. Call me when you learn how to love someone instead of cheat at your brother's college just because you had four smear off ices and a bottle of Snow Peak peach-flavored boo.
Good, Amanda. I'll be sure to do that. I'll make a note of it.
Amanda leaves Josh open-mouthed.
I've actually heard that the Snow Peak peach flavor is the best flavor of Boone's. Isn't that right, Bleek?
Bleeker suppresses a smile. Later, Juno dials a number.
Primo numero dos.
Hey, yeah, I'm just calling to procure a hasty abortion. What? Can you just hold on for a second? I'm on my hamburger phone.
She vigorously shakes the phone and something falls out.
Yeah, okay, yeah, now I can. Yeah, it's just like really awkward to talk on. I need an abortion. 16. I'm gonna say it's been about 2 months and 4 days since the sex. Mind you, that's just like a guesstimation.
She frowns at the phone.
Sorry, how long have I been what? Ugh, I hate it when adults use the term sexually active. What does it even mean? Can I like deactivate someday, or is this some sort of permanent state of being? I guess Bleeker went live that night we did it. I guess that's why he got that look on his face.
Should have seen this octopus furnace at work. I had to get on my hazmat suit just to get into the thing.
My dad used to be in the army, but now he's just your average HVAC specialist. recipe. My mom got divorced when I was like 5, and she lives on a Havasu reservation in Arizona with her new husband and 3 replacement kids. Oh, and she inexplicably mails me a cactus every Valentine's Day, and I'm like, thanks a heap, Coyote Ugly. This cactus gram stings even worse than your abandonment. That's my stepmom, Bren. She's completely obsessed with dogs. Owns a nail salon and always smells like methyl methacrylate.
So, Juno, how was your little maneuver last night?
Well, which maneuver, sir? The one where I moved an entire living room set from one lawn to the other? Or the one where I downed a 64-ounce blue sushi in 10 minutes?
Juno, did you by any chance barf in my urn?
Juno throws up in a decorative urn.
Mac, you know that nice urn by the front door, the one I got up in Stillwater?
Mm-hmm.
There was some blue shit, I mean gunk, stuff in there this morning.
I would never barf in your urn, Brenda. I mean, maybe I'll beat it.
Juno's little sister sprinkles her food.
Liberty Bell, if you put one more bacon on that potato, I'm gonna kick your little monkey butt.
Liberty Bell smiles slowly.
All babies want to get born. All babies want to get born.
Juno walks up to a Chinese girl carrying a placard that reads, "No babies like murdering."
Hey, Su Chin.
Oh, hi, Juno. How are you?
Yeah, pretty solid. So, did you write that paper for a worst class yet?
No, not yet. I tried to work on it a little last night, but I'm having trouble concentrating.
Oh, well, I'll sell you some of my Adderall if you...
No, thanks. I'm off pills.
That's a wise choice, because I knew this girl. She had this, like, crazy freak out because she took too many behavioral meds at once, and she just, like, ripped off her clothes and dove into the fountain at Ridgedale Mall and was like, "I am a kraken from the sea!"
That was you.
Well, it's good seeing you, Su Chin.
Juno plods away past Su Chin.
Your baby probably has a beating heart, you know. It can feel pain. And it has fingernails.
Juno stops in her tracks.
Fingernails? Really?
She shrugs and walks on towards the door of the Women Now Center. A punk girl sits in reception playing on her game console. Juno wanders into the lobby and steps up to the counter.
Welcome to Women Now, where women are trusted friends. Please put your hands where I can see them and surrender any bombs.
Hey, I'm here for the big show.
Your name, please?
Juno McGuff.
She thinks I'm using a fake name, like Jean Simmons or Mother Teresa.
I need you to fill these out both sides and don't skip the hairy details. We need to know about every score and every sore.
Juno nods obediently.
Would you like a free condom? They're boysenberry.
No, I'm off sex right now.
My boyfriend uses them every time we have intercourse. They make his junk smell like pie.
Juno takes the questionnaire clipboard to a padded leather bench and sits down. As she starts to fill in the form, she becomes aware of a black woman seated nearby, drumming her fingers against her clipboard. To the other side of her, a pregnant woman chips away at her thumb cuticle with her other thumbnail. A woman painting her nails, another scratching her arm, another using a nail file add to the crescendo of sound. Juno drops her pen.
All babies want to get born. All babies want to...
Su Chin brightens.
God appreciates your miracle.
Leah.
Dude, what are you doing here? I'm supposed to come get you at 4.
Couldn't do it, Leah. It smelled like a dentist's office in there. And there were these horrible magazines with water stains. And then the friggin' receptionist is trying to get me to take these condoms that look like grape suckers. And just babbling away about her friggin' boyfriend's pie balls.
Yum.
Oh, and then Su Chin was there. Yeah, and she was like, "Oh, hi, babies have fingernails. Fingernails."
That's gruesome. Do you think the baby could all, like, scratch her vag on the way out and then it would...
I'm staying pregnant, Leah.
Dude. You gotta keep your voice down, okay? My mom is inside. She doesn't know that we're sexually active.
What does that even mean? I was thinking
I could, like, have this baby and give it to someone that, like, totally needs it, you know? Like, a woman with a bum ovary or a couple nice lesbos.
But then you're gonna get, like, huge, and your chest is gonna milktate, and you're gonna have to, like, tell people that you're pregnant.
Yeah, but maybe they'll, like, canonize me for being so selfless.
Or maybe they'll, like, totally shit and be really, really mad and not let you graduate or go to Cabo for spring break.
I was gonna go to Gettysburg with Bleeker anyway.
You should look at adoption ads. I see them all the time in the Penny Saver. They have ads for parents?
Yeah, desperately seeking spawn. Right next to like terriers and iguanas and used fitness equipment and stuff. It's like totally legit.
They sit on a park bench scouring the paper.
Mm. Wholesome, spiritually wealthy couple have found true love with each other.
Oh, all that's missing is your bastard.
I want a parakeet.
Jenna, you're totally not even listening to me.
No, I heard you. I don't want to give the baby to a family that describes themselves as wholesome.
Why?
Well, I don't know, I just want something a little more edgier.
Okay, what did you have in mind exactly?
I was thinking more like graphic designer, mid-30s, you know, with a cool Asian girlfriend who like dresses awesome and rocks out on the bass guitar. But I don't want to be too particular.
Okay, how about this? Educated, successful couple seeking infant to join our family of five. You will be compensated. Help us complete the circle of love.
Yeesh.
That sounds great.
They sound like a friggin' cult, is what they sound like. And besides, they already have three kids, you know? They're just like greedy little bitches.
Oh, Juno. How about this one?
Leah hands pipe-smoking Juno an ad.
They were Mark and Vanessa Loring. And they were beautiful even in black and white.
In his room, Bleeker is lying on his bed looking at a photo of Juno in his yearbook. His other hand is clasped around a piece of cloth.
Hey, Paul. Are you coming downstairs to eat?
No, I don't think so.
You ran 8 miles today, puppy.
I'm not hungry, oddly.
But it's breakfast for supper. It's your favorite, Paul.
Yeah.
Juno McGuff called while you were out running today. You know how I feel about her.
Yeah. You mentioned it a couple times.
She's just different.
Bleeker's solidly built, double-chinned mother closes the door of his bedroom. He goes back to gazing at Juno's picture and brings his clasped hand from behind his head. Scrunched in his fingers, he's holding the knickers she wore and discarded on the day they had sex. At Juno's house, Leah watches apprehensively as Juno paces in front of her dad and her stepmom, Bren.
So I'm not really sure I'm gonna spit this out.
Hun, did you get expelled?
No, the school would most likely contact you in the event of my expulsion.
Well, I was just asking. It seemed plausible.
What, do you need a large amount of money? No. Legal counsel?
I'm not asking for anything. Except for maybe mercy. Like, it would be friggin' sweet if no one hit me.
Well, what have you done, Junebug? Did you hit someone with the Previa?
No. Dude, I think it's best to just tell him.
Mac and Bren brace themselves. Juno looks them both in the eye.
I'm pregnant.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but I'm going to give it up for adoption, and I already found the perfect couple. They're going to pay for the medical expenses and everything, and 30-year-odd weeks, we can just pretend that this never happened.
You're pregnant?
I'm sorry. And if it is any consolation, I have heartburn that is radiating in my kneecaps, and I haven't taken a dump since Wednesday morning.
I didn't even know you were sexually active.
Who is the kid?
The baby? I don't really know much about it other than, I mean, it has fingernails, allegedly.
Nails, really?
Yeah.
No, I don't, I mean, who is the father, Juno?
It's Polly Bleeker.
Polly Bleeker?
Leah pulls her face.
What?
I didn't think he had it in him.
I know, right?
Right, this is no laughing matter.
No, it's not. And you know, Polly is actually great in,
Okay.
In chair.
You're thinking about adoption?
Yeah, and there's this couple, they haven't had, you know, they've been trying to have a kid for like 5 years.
We found them in the Penny Saver next to the exotic birds.
And they have a legitimate lawyer, and I was gonna go meet with them next weekend.
Junebug, that is a tough, tough thing to do. It's probably tougher than you can understand right now.
No, I know. And it's just that I'm not ready to be a mom.
Damn Skippy, you're not. You don't even remember to give Liberty Bell her breathing meds.
That was once, and she did not die, if you recall.
Honey, had you considered, you know, the alternative?
No.
Well, you're a little Viking. First things first. All right, we have to get you healthy. You need prenatal vitamins. Incidentally, they do incredible things for your nails, so that's a plus. Oh, and we need to schedule a doctor's appointment, figure out where you're going to deliver.
Do you know I'm coming with you to meet this adoption couple? You're just a kid, and I want you to get ripped off by a couple of baby-starved wingnuts.
Thanks, Dad.
Boy, I thought you were the kind of girl who knew when to say when.
Juno meets her dad's bewildered gaze, then lets her head drop for a second before speaking.
I don't really know what kind of girl I am.
Mac shakes his head as she turns on her heels and hightails upstairs with Leah behind her. He runs his hands over his face.
Wow. Just tell it to me straight, Bren. You think this is my fault?
I think kids get bored and they have intercourse. And I think Junebug was a dummy about it, Mac.
I am not ready to be a pop-pop.
You're not gonna be a pop-pop. Somebody else is gonna find a precious blessing from Jesus in this garbage dump of a situation.
Did you see that coming when she sat us down here?
Yeah, but I was hoping she was expelled or into hard drugs.
That was my first instinct, too. Or a DWI. Anything but this. And I'm gonna punch that Bleeker kid in the wiener next time I see him.
Mac, come on. You know it wasn't his idea.
A slim young woman arranges some white hydrangeas in a glass vase. Her white cuffed hand straightens a glass photo frame. She places some aromatic sticks into a bottle. Mac, with Juno beside him, drives his blue Previa through the gates of the affluent-looking Glacial Valley estate. The woman, with a ring on the fourth finger of her left hand, fans out a display of coffee table magazines, straightens two monogrammed hand towels, and wipes a banister rail as Mac drives past a number of substantial houses set back from the road. He slows down in front of one house with a triple garage and a box tree on the front lawn and pulls up onto the driveway. As the woman carefully adjusts the buttons on her pristine white cuffs, Mac and Juno, wearing everyday casual clothes, stroll up to the double-fronted door flanked by two slim firs. Mac wipes his feet on the doormat. The woman with neatly combed long dark hair opens the door with a bright smile.
Hi, I'm Vanessa. You must be Juno, Mr. McGuff.
Hi.
Vanessa, Lori.
It's Vanessa, right? Is that...
Thanks for having me and my irresponsible child over to your house.
Oh, no, thank you. Thank you. Come on in. Can I take your coat or your hat?
Ah, yeah, sure, thanks. A wicked pick in the Penny Saver, by the way. Super classy, not like those people with fake woods in the background. Honestly, who do they think they're fooling?
You found us in the Penny Saver?
Hi, Mark Loring. I'm the husband.
How you doing? Mac McGuff.
Nice to meet you. Hi.
This is Gerda Rouse, our attorney.
Gerda Rouse.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Juno slaps Gerda's proffered hand.
And this, of course, is Juno.
Like the city in Alaska.
No.
Should we sit down and get to know another?
Well, I thought I'd get some drinks. What would anyone like? I have Pellegrino or vitamin water or orange juice with folic acid.
All of them Maker's Mark, please.
She's kidding. Junebug has a wonderful sense of humor, just one of her many genetic gifts.
Sit down.
So, Juno, first off, how far along are you?
I'm a junior?
No, I mean in your pregnancy.
Oh, right. Well, actually, my stepmom took me yesterday to the doctor, and they said I was 12 weeks.
Oh, that's great. That's marvelous. So you're into your second trimester?
Yeah. Apparently. I'm due on May 4th.
Great. My girlfriends tell me that the first couple of months are the hardest.
I didn't notice it at all, actually. I'm more concerned about when they have to put that, like, elastic band, you know, in the front of my jeans.
I think pregnancy's beautiful.
Oh, you're lucky it's not you.
Vanessa purses her lips.
Let's talk about how we're gonna do this thing.
What do you mean, don't I just have the thing, squeeze it on out and hand it over?
Mark and Vanessa are willing to negotiate an open adoption.
Well, wait, what does that mean?
It means they'd send annual updates, photos, let Juno know how the baby is doing as he or she grows up.
Whoa, no. I don't want photos or any kind of notification, you know? I mean, can't we just, like, kick this old school? You know, like, I stick the baby in a basket, send it your way, like Moses and the reeds?
Technically, that would be kicking it Old Testament.
Exactly, right? Do you know what I mean? Like, in the good old days, when it was quick and dirty.
Well, then we all agree. A traditional closed adoption would be best for all involved.
Shit! Yes, just close her on up.
Obviously, we would compensate you for all your medical expenses.
Are you looking for any other type of compensation?
Excuse me?
Vanessa looks penetratingly at Juno.
What?
No. No, I don't want to, you know, sell the thing. I just want the baby to be with people who are going to love it and be good parents, you know? I'm in high school. Dude, I'm ill-equipped.
And you're doing a beautiful and a selfless thing for us.
Vanessa's wanted a baby ever since we got married.
I want to be a mommy so badly.
You don't say.
Have you ever felt like you were just born to do something?
Yes. Heating and air conditioning.
There you go. I was born to be a mother. Some of us are.
How about you, Mark? Are you looking forward to being a dad?
Betcha. Yeah. Every guy wants to be a father. He wants to coach the soccer team and help out with the science fair. The volcano goes off. Yeah, all that.
Maybe Gerda could take us through the preliminary documents that you've drawn up.
Sweet. Yeah, could I use the facilities first? Because being pregnant makes me pee like sea biscuit.
Sure, the downstairs bathroom's being retiled, but if you go upstairs and then to the right and to the
Oh, yeah,
right.
Room with the toilet.
She all right?
On the staircase, Juno, in her loose checked shirt over jeans, passes a lineup of posed photos of Mark and Vanessa in white. She wanders into Vanessa's ensuite bathroom and contemplates herself in the large mirror above the basin, smoothing the front of her hair. There are several expensive-looking bottles and jars grouped around the basin, next to a white orchid in a pot. Opening one jar, she scoops out a fingerful of cream and dabs it on her face. Then does a bodybuilder-type snarl and pose. Picking up a bottle of perfume, she sniffs it and sprays her wrist, rubbing it against the other wrist. As she comes out of the bathroom, she collides with Mark.
Oh!
Hello. Sorry.
I didn't expect to see you up here.
Just came up to get something.
Did your wife send you up here to spy on me?
No. What? Do we come off as paranoid yuppies or something?
I stole a squirt of your wife's perfume.
Really?
Is Clinique happy? Get a whiff of those sparkling top notes.
Oh, yeah. That's supposed to make me feel happy.
You should feel happy, Holmes. Giving you and Vanessa the gift of life. Sweet, screaming, pooping life. And you don't even have to be there when it comes out all covered in,
viscera.
Blood and guts.
Her eye lights on a guitar.
Whoa. Is that a Les Paul?
Yes, it is. Vanessa gave me my own room for all my stuff.
She gave you your own room in your whole house for your stuff? Wow, she's going on a long leash there, Mark. Oh, it's beautiful. You know, I always love Gibson way more than Fender. Like, just...
What do you play?
I rock a harmony.
Oh.
So is it mahogany?
Yeah.
And what happens if you crack the neck? I mean, that must be like a bitch to...
Tell me about it. I used to play in this real tight band when I lived in Chicago, and this one night we opened up for the Melvins, and I busted that thing right on stage. It cost me $800 just to get it fixed.
Whoa. So when was that? Was that like...
93. Best time for rock and roll.
Nuh-uh. 77? Are you...
What?
Punk volume number one.
You're crazy.
Dude, you weren't there. You couldn't understand the magic.
You weren't even alive.
Mac points to some apparatus.
What's that?
Vanessa smiles proudly.
It's a Pilates machine.
What do you make with it?
You don't make anything. It's for exercising.
Yeah, my wife ordered one of those Tony Little Gazelles off the TV, you know, from the guy with the ponytail. That guy just doesn't look right to me.
Mac's attempt at conversation is met with a baffled look. Then he and both women look up towards the sound drifting down from the floor above.
I'll be right back.
With a brittle smile, tall, slim Vanessa hurries upstairs to find Mark and Juno duetting on guitars.
They really want you, and I do too. I wanna be...
Hi.
Hi.
You're playing music.
Juno wanted a little closer look at Kimber.
Your guitar's named Kimber?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. My axe is named Roosevelt, but after Franklin, not Ted. Franklin, he was the hot one with polio?
Yeah. Hey, Gerda's downstairs. We still have a lot of stuff to go over and do.
I got it.
You got it?
Not to interrupt the jam session, but...
Mac is looking at some forms.
Mm-hmm.
So just look these over. If you have any questions, call me at my office.
We would really appreciate it if you would just, you know, keep us updated on any doctor's appointments or ultrasounds or anything of that nature.
Yeah.
If it's not too much.
No, right, for sure. Yeah, you want to know how your kids are cooking. I get it.
You think you're really going to do this then?
Yeah. No, I like you guys. Yeah.
How sure would you say you are? Like, would you say you're 80% sure or 90% sure?
I'm gonna say I'm about 104% sure.
Really?
Here,
no, seriously, if I could just have the thing and give it to you now, I totally would, but I'm guessing it looks probably like a sea monkey right now, and you know, we should let it get a little cuter.
Yes.
Right?
Great.
Keep it in the oven.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, nice to meet you both.
You too.
Please drive carefully. Hopefully we'll hear from you soon.
Oh.
Okay.
All
right.
Yeah, thank you. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Mark closes the front door with a wry smile. Vanessa presses her hands together as if in prayer and lets him fold her in his arms. Snow blankets the ground as the word winter appears in the left-hand corner of the screen.
I'm sticking with you, 'cause
hey, VJ. How's it going?
Did you hear? Juno McGill's pregnant.
Yeah.
Like our moms and teachers.
Yeah.
Did you hear it's yours?
Yep.
What a trip, man.
I don't really know too much about it.
You should grow a mustache.
I can't.
Me neither. But I'm gonna stop wearing underpants. Raise my sperm count. See ya.
VJ speeds up, leaving Bleeker alone on the running track. Two boys pass him as he slows to a walk. At school, a grey-haired, stoutly built woman in a mauve cardigan sits behind a desk looking disapprovingly at Juno's bulging belly. The woman grudgingly signs a pink form and hands it to Juno. Juno smiles sweetly and comes out into the corridor.
Juno, hey.
Hey, Bleek.
Hey, me and some guys are gonna go to the movies after school and we're gonna donate that flick with the guy who has 18 kids.
Oh.
You wanna come?
Ugh. Sounds awesome. I got my ultrasound.
Oh, really? Can I, should I come?
Ah, you can't waste those donut holes there. But maybe I could, you know, drop by later.
Okay, cool.
Later, Bleek.
See ya. I'll save you a seat.
A technician spreads gel across Juno's distended belly with an ultrasound scan head. On a monitor next to her, Juno watches moving patches of light and dark take on a recognizable shape.
There's your baby.
Leah and Bren sigh with delight.
There's a hand.
Oh.
And an arm. And there's the feet.
Oh, would you look at that?
Whoa, check out baby big head. Dude, that thing is freaky looking.
Excuse me, I am a sacred vessel, all right? All you've got in your stomach is Taco Bell.
Mm. It's amazing that there's actually saps that cry at this.
What? I'm not made of stone.
Well, there you have it. Would you like to know the sex?
Yes.
No.
Please.
No,
Juno,
definitely.
Please.
No, there's no sex. Planning to be surprised when you deliver.
Well, no, I want Mark and Vanessa to be surprised, and if you tell me, I'll just, like, ruin everything.
Are Mark and Vanessa your friends at school?
No, they're the adoptive parents.
Oh, well, thank goodness for that.
Bren's lips tighten.
What's that supposed to mean?
I just see a lot of teenage mothers come through here. It's obviously a poisonous environment to raise a baby in.
How do you know that I'm so poisonous, you know? Like, what if these adoptive parents turn out to be, like, evil molesters?
Or, like, stage parents.
They could be utterly negligent. Maybe they'll do a far shittier job of raising a kid than my dumbass stepdaughter ever would. Have you considered that?
No, I guess not.
Yeah. What is your job title exactly?
I'm an ultrasound technician, ma'am.
Well, I'm a nail technician, and I think we both ought to stick to what we know.
Excuse me?
Oh, you think you're so special because you get to play picture pages up there? My 5-year-old daughter could do that, and let me tell you, she's not the brightest bulb in the tanning bed. So why don't you go back to night school in Manteno and learn a real trade?
With a look that could kill, the ultrasound technician leaves the room.
Bren, use a dick. Love it.
In her room, with its walls covered in drawings, Juno lies on her bed, her legs propped up on cushions, gazing at the ultrasound print. She blinks thoughtfully, and moments later is driving Max Blue Previa out to Glacial Valley Estate, past its immaculate houses and lawns blanketed in snow.
Though you're the nearest to my heart, please don't ever, yeah, ever say we'll part. Go, and you were so bold. Yes, together, yeah, I'm gonna treat you right.
As she runs up to the Lorings' front door, she smooths down the hem of the skirt she wears over her jeans. She peers in through one of the two oval-leaded windows in the door.
Juno, wow, I didn't expect to see you here.
I have something really cool to show you guys. Is Vanessa here?
Nope. Actually, she's working late tonight. Just trying to accrue as much time off as she can before the...
Oh, right. I hear these are quite the time suck.
Yeah. You want to come on in? I'm just having a ginseng cooler. Would you like one?
What is it with you rich people and your herb-infused juices?
That's probably got something to do with those 44 packs they come in. They're not bad, though.
And wait a second. Why aren't you at work?
I work mostly from home. I'm a composer.
No shit. Like Johann Brahms or?
No, more commercial stuff.
Like what?
Commercials.
Oh.
Yeah. Have you seen the ads for the Titanium Power Men's deodorant?
Titanium Power. Get my snatch by the batch.
Right. Paid for this kitchen.
Whoa. Quite the sellout, Mark. I mean, what would the Melvin say?
Did you say you had something to show me?
Behold, good sir, your future child.
She shows Mark the image.
Hey, look at that.
I think it looks like my friend Polly.
Is he also bald and amorphous?
No, he's the dad.
Oh. Wow. Can you tell if it's a boy or a girl?
I can't. The doctor can, but you know, I kind of want it to be a surprise.
Well, it can only go one of two ways.
That's what you think. I mean, I drink tons of booze, so you might end up with one of those scary neuter babies born without junk.
Junk, huh?
Yeah, you know, it's parts.
I know what junk is.
Yeah, right.
We definitely wanted to have some junk, please.
Now, you don't need to worry about a thing. My stepmom, Bren, makes me eat super healthy. You know, I can't stand in front of the microwave and... No red M&Ms. Hope you're ready.
Ooh. You hear that?
What?
This is my favorite song. This is Sonic Youth doing Superstar by the Carpenters.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know the Carpenters. Chick drummer, freaky dude, not unlike the White Stripes.
You haven't heard the Carpenters like this. Just listen.
Mark seems to lose himself in the music. Then he looks at Juno with a playful expression. She grins back.
Yeah. Yeah, I like this.
What did you say your favorite band was?
Didn't. It's a three-way tie between Stooges, Patti Smith, and the Runaways.
Jesus, I'm definitely making some CDs, at least while my kid's in there.
Juno notices a VHS.
The Wizard of Gore?
That is Herschel Gordon Lewis. He's the ultimate master of horror.
Please! Dario Argento is so the ultimate master of horror.
Argento? He's all right. But Lewis is completely demented. Okay, we're talking about buckets of goo. I mean, there's red corn syrup all over the place. There's fake brains coming out the yin-yang.
Quite frankly, this looks a little stupid.
Give me the tape.
He snatches the tape from her, and they watch the film. A sinister man drives a stake through a woman's stomach.
This is even better than Suspiria.
What'd I tell you?
Kudos. You have decent taste in slasher movies.
Here's the dovetailing interests.
Have you guys thought of any names for the baby yet?
Sort of, yes. Vanessa likes Madison for a girl.
Madison? Wait, hold on. Isn't that, like, a little gay?
Wow. pretentious much? Should everyone just have a mysterious name like Juno?
No, Dougs, you see, my dad went through this huge obsession with Roman and Greek mythology, so he decided to name me after Zeus's wife.
I got it.
Zeus, like, he had tons of lays, but I'm pretty sure Juno was his only wife, and she was supposed to be, like, really beautiful, but really mean, like Diana Ross.
Well, that suits you.
Thanks.
You are something else.
Nah.
There's Vanessa. You'd better go.
What? Why?
She hates when I sit around and I watch movies and I don't contribute.
No. I'll handle this. I'm really good at diffusing mom type rage.
No, Juno.
Hey, Mark, hey,
seriously.
Where are you? I got some
stuff. Hey, Vanessa.
Juno, what's going on?
Oh, nothing.
What are you doing here? What's wrong?
I went to the doctor today.
Is something wrong with the baby?
The baby's great. It's the right size and everything. I even saw its phalanges today. Here.
Juno shows Vanessa the picture.
It's a baby. It's your baby. And it kind of looks like it's waving, you know? Like it's saying, hey, Vanessa, will you be my mom?
Oh, it kind of does.
Right?
Juno was nice enough to bring that over for us today.
Yeah, I came as soon as I got that ultrasound goo off my pelvis, and it was crazy, actually. My stepmom verbally abused the ultrasound tech, and we got escorted off the premises.
Vanessa studies the image lengthwise and sideways.
Wow, what kind of swag did you score?
Mall madness, huh?
It's just some stuff I picked up for the baby.
Wait, don't you usually get all that stuff at, like, a baby shower? Because my stepmom, she was pregnant with my little sister, and she got a million gifts, you know? But I wasn't jealous because they were all super lame.
I doubt anyone's going to throw us a shower.
Why wouldn't they throw you a baby shower?
Well, I don't think people know how to feel about the situation because it's not set in stone.
What isn't set? No. You don't think that I'm going to flake out on you?
No, I don't, Juno. We went through a situation before where it didn't work out.
Yeah, cold feet.
Oh.
Vanessa looks across at Mark, who shrugs broodily.
Should have gone to China. You know, because I hear they give away babies like free iPods. You know, they pretty much just put them in those t-shirt guns and shoot them out at sporting events.
Vanessa stands with her arms tightly folded.
Your parents are probably wondering where you are.
Nah. I mean, I'm already pregnant, so what other kind of shenanigans can I get into? I should probably bounce.
Hey, don't forget your bag.
Bag.
He places Juno's bag over her shoulder and opens the door to let her out.
Okay, take care.
Vanessa gives her husband a tight smile. It's dark by the time Juno arrives home, sipping from a drinks carton. Bren is cutting out pictures of dogs.
Where the hell you been, Junebug?
I just drove to St. Cloud to show Mark and Vanessa the ultrasound. I ended up staying for a couple hours.
Couple hours? What are you going over there in the first place?
Oh, they just, you know, they wanted to know about the stuff, and I said I'd keep them updated, so I did.
Well, you could have mailed it to them. Why would you drive an hour out to East Jesus Nowhere?
I just did, you know, and while Mark and I were waiting for Vanessa, we watched The Wizard of Gore, and then he burnt me a couple CDs of this weird music, so it was cool. He's kind of cool.
Juno, you can't just drop in on them like that.
No, it was not a big deal. He was totally cool with it.
You don't understand. Mark is a married man. There are boundaries.
Oh, come on. Listen, Brenda. Now, you're acting like you're the one who has to go through this. Like you're the one who has to get huge and shove a baby out of your vag for someone else. And what does it even matter if he's married? I can have friends that are married.
It doesn't work that way, kiddo. You don't know squat about the dynamics of marriage.
You don't know anything about me.
I know enough.
We don't even have a dog.
Wait, yeah, we don't have a dog because you're allergic to their saliva. I have sacrificed a lot for you, Juno, and in a couple years when you move out, I'm gonna get Weimer honors.
Whoa, dream big!
Oh, go fly a kite!
As Bren goes back to her paper dogs, Juno pours the dregs of her drink into Bren's ornamental urn. Outside, on the snowy street, Juno stops the Previa and eases off her grey overskirt. Bleeker's mother opens her front door.
Hi, Gina. What can I do for you?
Bleeker home? Bleeker's mom was possibly attractive once, but now she looks like a hobbit. You know, the fat one that was in the Goonies?
Juno races up the stairs, outrunning Bleeker's mother and getting to Bleeker's room before her.
Hey, man. Don't concentrate so hard. I think I can smell your hair a-burning.
Hey, what's up?
Not much. I just want to come say hey. I mean, I miss, like, just hanging out with you on school nights, you know?
Bleeker reaches for a box.
Orange Tic Tacs are Bleeker's one and only vice. The day I got pregnant, his mouth tasted really tangy and delicious.
Juno eases herself into a chair with her legs apart.
I really seem to be getting pregnanter these days.
You know, I set up this whole private adoption and this married couple in, like, St. Cloud. They're going to be the parents, so it's...
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, what are they like?
Well, I mean, the guy, he's awesome. His name's Mark, and... He likes old horror movies, and he plays a guitar. We actually hung out this afternoon.
Is that normal?
Probably not, but... Listen, I talked to Dad and Bran, and they said they wouldn't argue out to your folks, so...
Okay.
I think we should be cool, you know?
That's a relief.
She slides onto the floor next to him.
You know, I'm gonna start looking like a pretty big dork soon, so... Are you still gonna think I'm cute when I'm huge?
I always think you're cute. I think you're beautiful.
Jeez, Bleak.
I do. Hey, Junebug, you know, when this is all over, we should get the band back together.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that'd be awesome. I mean, once Tino gets the new drum head, we're just, like, ready to rock.
And, I mean, we could, you know, we could always get back together, too. It's an option.
Were we together?
Yeah, we were once, you know, that time.
They both look away awkwardly.
What about Katrina DeVort? You could totally go out with Katrina DeVort.
I don't like Katrina. She smells like soup. I mean, have you ever smelled her? And her whole house smells like soup.
Juno suddenly looks glum. At her home, Vanessa, in an old T-shirt, her hair pulled back in a ponytail, stands before a bare wall.
Okay. So we have custard and cheesecake.
They're yellow.
Right, well, I wanted to pick something that was gender neutral until we get the baby, and then we can just add a more decisive palette.
Why does everybody think that yellow is gender neutral? I don't know any guy with a yellow bedroom.
I'm thinking more custard, just with this light. I don't know, maybe I should paint a larger swatch or just try it on another wall.
Mark, standing next to her, arms folded, looks glum.
Well, you can wait a few more months. Not like the baby's gonna come storming in here demanding dessert-colored walls.
Well, What to Expect says that readying the baby's room is an important process for the woman, especially if you're adopting. It's called nesting.
Nesting?
Yeah.
What, are you going to build a crib out of sticks and spit?
Well, you should read the book. Yeah. I flagged the daddy chapters through.
I think it's too early to paint. That's my opinion.
I disagree.
Playing nervously with a chain around her neck, Vanessa turns to the wall behind her.
This wall is going to need something. Our first family photo right in the middle. Right up there.
Mark stares bleakly at the wall.
Can you see it?
Yum! This pretzel tastes like a friggin' donut.
Well, she doesn't love sweets.
No, you can't have any. I'm
just... Is this holding me? She's denying me fresh...
Juno and Leah are in the mall.
Oh, my God.
What?
That's her. That's Vanessa Lauren.
Of the Penny Saver Lauren's?
They crouch down behind a glass balcony.
Dude, she's, like, really pretty.
You sound, like, totally shocked or something.
She's totally gonna, like, steal that little kid from a collection.
Right? Seriously?
Vanessa is joking around with a friend's little girl in the mall play area. Leah sucks in her cheeks.
Boring.
She stands up and looks elsewhere, but Juno stays where she is, gazing down at Vanessa playing with the little girl. A soft smile spreads across Juno's face.
Oh, I could so go for like a huge cookie right now with like a lamb kebab simultaneously.
God, Spermy, must you always feed? It's like never ending pretty much.
They walk into Vanessa.
Juno!
Hi!
Hi, Juno. Vanessa, what brings you to the mall today?
I was just shopping, you know, with my girlfriends.
You're gay.
Oh, please, no? Just ignore her.
Okay. Well, how are you feeling?
Great. Everything's stupendous, you know. Oh, coming in on that snooze button.
Vanessa shakes her head in awe.
It's incredible.
Juno winces.
What?
Kicking away.
Could I feel it?
Are you kidding?
Juno plants Vanessa's hand on her belly.
God, at school, everyone's just like grabbing my belly all the time. It's crazy. But yeah, I'm a legend, you know? They call me the cautionary whale.
Vanessa shakes her head.
I can't feel anything. It's not moving for me.
You should try talking to it, because, like, supposedly they can hear you, even though it's all, like, 10,000 leagues under the sea.
Vanessa's beautiful sculpted face tightens self-consciously. Then she drops to her knees in front of Juno, and with a nervous glance about her, she places her hands on Juno's belly.
Hi, baby. It's me. It's Vanessa. I can't wait to meet you. Can you hear me, baby? Sweet angel.
Her eyes widen excitedly.
Oh, God. That was magical.
Juno, standing over her, watches her with a mixture of fondness and pride as Vanessa gazes at the swollen belly like a love-struck puppy. The running team pound along the school track as the word spring appears in the bottom left-hand corner of the screen. Bren, at her sewing machine, cuts the top off a pair of jeans and sews on an elasticated band.
I'd help with me, Miss Private, and we'll sail around the world. I will be your fatherman, and you my wayward girl.
She gives a satisfied smile as she tests the elastic. Juno, wearing the adapted jeans, comes down the school corridor, her hands slung in the pockets of her baggy tartan parka. Her fellow students, staring at her belly, clear a path to let her pass. Mark's at home composing.
Can't if you can't, if you can't decide between a little breakfast and lunch, why don't you microwave yourself a little bowl of brunch? If you can. Hello?
Hey.
Hi.
So, I've been listening to that really weird CD that you made me.
Yeah, what's the verdict?
Well, it's cute.
It's cute.
When you're used to listening to the raw power of Iggy and the Stooges, everything else just sounds kind of, like, precious in comparison.
Well, I imagine you've got a collection of punk chestnuts to prove your point.
Well, consider it your musical education.
Can't wait to see what you've got to teach me.
Stop serving porn and get back to work. Just wanted to call and say hi.
All right, go learn something.
In the school canteen...
Oh, a little trip down Mexico way. And Greece and China, apparently. How many months has it been now? You're getting huge.
Well, it's honing in on 8. You should see how weird I look naked.
I wish my fun bags would get bigger.
God, trust me, you don't. I have to actually wear a frickin' bra now and rub all this nasty cocoa butter stuff on myself so, like, I don't know, my skin won't explode. Hot.
The two girls eat their lunch in an empty school awards booth.
Why is everyone always staring at me? Well, you are kind of convex, you know.
Whoa! Who's been doing their geometry homework for once?
I have no choice. Keith has been grading me, like, so hard lately.
Do not call Mr. Conyers Keith.
Why?
Because my barf reflex is really in heightened these days.
Oh, but Keith's hot.
Leah gazes adoringly at the tubby bearded teacher.
He's all beardy.
Dude, did you hear that Blake is going to prom with Katrina DeVort?
Katrina?
No way. No, he doesn't like Katrina. It must be like a pity date or something.
I heard he asked her, and that they're going to Benihana, and then prom, and then VJ's parents' cabin.
No, what do you... He told me that Katrina's house smells like soup.
Oh my God, it totally does. I was there like 4 years ago for a birthday party. Oh my God, it's like Lipton Landing. But you know, boys have endured way worse things from Nookie.
Please. There is no way that they're having sex. I mean, they wouldn't even be holding hands.
Yeah, I wouldn't be so sure. He did it with you.
Yeah, because we trust me, you know? And we're best friends.
Are you jealous? I thought you said you didn't care what he did.
Not jealous. Don't care. It's just, I know Bleak doesn't like Katrina, you know? And he shouldn't toy with her emotions like that, because she seems pretty nice.
Uh-huh. I'm really convinced.
You know, prom is for weenuses in any way, because as soon as you're old enough to go, it's so not cool anymore.
At his locker, Bleaker knocks back Tic Tacs. Juno waddles up to him and looks him straight in the eye.
Are you honestly and truly going to prom with Katrina DeVore?
Bleaker's eyes shift.
Hi.
Leah just said that you were going to go with her.
Yeah, I did ask her if she wanted to go. A bunch of us from the team are going to go to Benihana and then go to the prom and then go to VJ's parents' cabin. So we're getting a stretch limo.
Your mom must be pretty stoked that you're not taking me.
You're mad. Why are you mad?
I'm mad? I'm in a great mood. I mean, despite the fact that, well, I'm in a fat suit that I can't take off, and despite the fact that pretty much everyone's making fun of me behind my back, and despite the fact that your little girlfriend gave me the stink eye in art class yesterday.
Katrina's not my girlfriend, all right? And I doubt that she gave you the stink eye. That's just the way her face looks, you know? That's just her face.
He glances in Katrina's direction.
Yeah, you just take soupy sales to prom. I can think of so many cooler things to do that night. Like, you know what, Bleak? I might pumice my feet, might go to Branstown Unitarian Church, maybe get hit by a truck full of hot garbage juice, you know, because all those things would be exponentially cooler than going to prom with you.
You're being really immature. You have no reason to be mad at me. I mean, you know, you broke my heart. I should be royally ticked off at you. You know, I should be really cheesed off. I shouldn't want to talk to you anymore.
Well, because I got bored and had sex with you and I didn't want to, like, marry you?
Like I'd marry you. You'd be the meanest wife ever, okay? And I know that you weren't bored that day because there was a lot of stuff on TV and the Blair Witch Project was coming on Stars. And you were like, I haven't seen this since it came out, and so we should watch it. But oh, no, we should just make out instead. La, la, la.
You just take Katrina the douche packer to prom. I'm sure you two will have like a real bitchin' time.
Well, I still have your underwear.
I still have your virginity.
God, would you shut up?
What, are you ashamed that we did it?
No.
Because at least you don't have to have the evidence under your sweater. I'm a planet.
Bleaker's head drops miserably.
Wait, let me get your bag. You shouldn't be carrying it.
What's another 10 pounds?
She strides away with her canvas bag over her shoulder, leaving Bleaker standing by his locker, watching her glumly. Juno hoists herself up into her dad's Previa. She puts on some lip balm and starts the engine. At home, Mark, surfing on his PC, sees the blue van pull up outside.
And the headset that you always wear, a queer one from the start. Curious, you say you wanna be remembered for your heart. Your obsession gets you known throughout the school, so being strange. I get my
photos on. Hi. Wow. Shirt's working hard.
Is Vanessa here?
No, we are safe.
Sweet.
Glad you're here. I actually have something for you.
She follows him downstairs.
Almost there.
He leads her into a cluttered basement room.
Whoa, Mark, is this the baby's room? It's beautiful.
Oh, that's hilarious. Now, this is where I keep all of my old comics, and I want to show you one.
You're one of those guys?
Take a look. Huh?
She reads a title.
Most Fruitful Yuki.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a pregnant superhero?
Is that great? I found it in Japan when I was there with my band. It reminds me of you.
Hells yeah! This actually makes me feel way less of a fat dork.
Well, Yuki is a real badass, and you should be very proud to be in the same condition.
Thank you. Yeah. Cool. Oh, how about some tunage? Tunage?
Okay. Yeah, I got a box.
All right,
right
don't
there.
Look. Numero 12.
Not looking.
Okay, this one is actually kind of slow, but it's Mott the Hoople, so it's still totally rad and hardcore. Mm-hmm. What?
I know this one.
You do?
Yeah, this song is older than I am, if you can believe it. I danced to this at my senior prom.
Who'd you dance with?
Cynthia Vogel. Great dance partner. She let me put my hands all over her butt.
Hot.
Very hot.
I can just totally picture you dancing like a total dork.
Her hands grab his waist.
Actually,
he brings them up to his neck.
Her hands there. I put my hands down here. This is how we did it in 88.
Like this.
Just like this. Yeah. Have you ever been to a dance before?
Dances are for nerds and squares.
What are you?
I don't know.
Does it feel like there's something between us?
With his hands round her waist, her belly touching his, she closes her eyes and rests her head on his chest as they slowly sway together. Mark, with his chin brushing against her hair, seems unsettled.
I'm leaving, Vanessa.
Juno looks up, startled.
What?
Getting a place in the city. It all planned. This is something I've been wanting to do for a long time.
No.
No?
No, you definitely can't do that. That's one big fat sack of... No.
What is the matter?
You guys are supposed to take care of this, you know?
Thought you'd be cool with this.
Cool. I want things to be perfect. I don't want them to be shitty and broken like everyone else's family. God, look... I'll have the baby, and Vanessa's gonna be so happy. The
baby's not gonna fix everything. Besides, I don't know if I'm even ready to be a father.
But you're old.
Juno stares at him in bewilderment.
How do you think of me? You know, why are you over here?
I just like being a piece of furniture in your weird life.
This is what my life has become. I mean, you know, I got stuff in boxes, you know, I'm underground. That's appealing to you?
Is this my fault?
No.
Is Vanessa, like, mad at you because of me or something?
It's got nothing to do with it. Vanessa and I aren't in love anymore.
Well, you were in love when you married her. And if you're in love once, you can be in love again. Like my friend Leah, who's been with the same guy, like, four different times. You're just not trying hard enough.
Such an idiot. I can't believe what an idiot
I am. No, you know what, Mark? Just do not divorce your wife. Will you please just do me a solid and stay with Vanessa?
You're so young.
I'm not that young, okay? I'm 16, all right? I'm old enough to know when someone's acting like a total a-hole. Oh, and you know what? I bought another Sonic Youth album, and it sucks. It's just noise.
Vanessa, loaded down with shopping, comes into her pristine white kitchen.
Juno, what's going on?
Nothing.
Why are you crying?
I'm not crying. I'm just allergic to fine home furnishings.
Hold on. What's the matter? What's the matter?
Just a little hormonal, right, Juno? It's part of the process.
What did you do?
I didn't do anything. Just,
Mark lowers his gaze.
I've been thinking.
What?
You know, I'm thinking if this is the right thing.
What are you talking about?
Just wondering if we're ready.
Yeah, we're ready. We're ready. We've read the books. We've taken all the classes. We have a nursery that is completely...
Vanessa, I know we're prepared. I'm just wondering if I'm ready.
Juno starts to go.
Wait a minute. You know, don't listen to him. He's just got cold feet. He's just being a guy. The books all say the same thing. A woman becomes a mother when she gets pregnant. A man becomes a father when he sees his baby. He's gonna get there. He's gonna get there.
It's happened so fast. You know, we put the ad in the paper, and I thought that it was gonna take months, if at all, and then 2 weeks later, she's on that couch.
She answered our prayers.
Ever since then, it's been like a ticking clock.
What are you saying?
That it feels a little like bad timing.
What would be a good time for you, Mark?
There's just some things that I still want to do.
Like what? Be a rock star?
Don't mock me.
I'm just saying that this is something that's never gonna happen. You know, your shirt is stupid. Grow up. If I have to wait for you to become Kurt Cobain, I'm never gonna be a mother.
I never said I'd be a good father.
Juno bolts out of the door. Clutching her belly, she waddles out to the Previa. Mark, in his rock t-shirt over a long-sleeved undershirt, looks coldly at Vanessa and goes back to his room. Vanessa sinks down on the stairs and gazes unhappily into space. Beneath a cloudy sky, Juno drives under a road bridge, passing a freight train on one side. She pulls off the main carriageway onto the soft shoulder next to a sward of dull green grass dotted with patches of spring snow. She runs her hand over her round belly as she gives in to tears. Crammed in behind the wheel, Juno seems oblivious of the passing cars as she rubs her belly under her thick tartan coat. Her eyes stare straight ahead, not looking at anything in particular, and she starts to calm down. The car lights flash, and she pulls back onto the road and drives off. Up in his room, Bleeker is playing his guitar. It's after dark. She's lying on the bonnet of the van, her head resting on the sloping front windscreen, with her hands tucked behind her back, staring up at the sky. She suddenly raises herself onto her elbows and climbs back into the van. She rummages behind her and finds a crumpled receipt. She smooths it out on the steering wheel of the van and starts to write on it. In her immaculate house, Vanessa is sitting alone at the dining room table, sipping a glass of red wine. Mark comes downstairs.
I called Gerda Rouse, and she said that she can represent both of us. It's called a collaborative divorce. It's all the rage right now, supposedly. It'd be pretty easy, because we don't have any children.
Thanks for making the call, I guess.
He comes towards her and pulls up a chair.
Have you found a place to stay yet?
Yeah, downtown.
A hotel?
No, it's not a hotel. It's a loft.
Well, aren't you the cool guy?
A faintly smug smile flickers across his face.
I wanted a baby so bad.
I know.
Mark, opening the front door, catches sight of Juno driving off. At his feet, he finds the note she left.
This looks like a bill from Jupiter.
For me.
Vanessa grabs it from him and they both read it. Juno parks the Previa in the street outside the family's wooden slatted house, where the porch light illuminates a straw heart hanging on the door knocker. She gets out of the vehicle looking emotionally and physically exhausted. In the front garden, she stops to pick a crocus and, with a solemn expression, traces a circle across her tummy with its petals.
I never realized how much I like being home unless I've been somewhere really different for a while.
Her mustachioed dad, his bald head gleaming in the bright kitchen light, is busy fixing something at the kitchen table as she comes in.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, big puffy version of Junebug. Where you been?
Oh, just out dealing with things way beyond my maturity level. Where's everybody?
Bryn took Liberty Bell to her tot ice skating class.
God, when will you guys learn that tots can't ice skate?
You're looking a little morose, honey. What's eating you?
She flops down at the table.
Just like losing my faith with humanity.
Wow, can you narrow that down for me?
I just wonder if, like, two people can stay together for good.
You mean like couples?
Yeah, like people in love.
Are you having boy trouble? Because I gotta be honest, I don't really much approve of you dating in your condition. That's kind of messed up.
No, Dad, it's not.
I mean, that's pretty skanky. Isn't that what you girls call it? Skanky? Skeevy?
Please stop.
Tore up from the floor up?
That's not what it's about. I just... I need to know that it's possible that two people can stay happy together forever.
Well, it's not easy, that's for sure. And I don't have the best track record in the world, I know, but I've been with your stepmother for 10 years now, and I'm proud to say we're very happy. Look, in my opinion, the best thing you can do is find a person who loves you for exactly what you are. Good mood, bad mood, ugly, pretty, handsome, what have you. The right person's still gonna think the sun shines out your ass. That's the kind of person that's worth sticking with.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think I've found that person.
Yeah, sure you have, your dear old DAD. You know, I'll always be there to love you, support you, no matter what kind of pickle you're in.
He stares at her belly.
Obviously.
Juno nods wryly, then her expression brightens.
I think I'm just gonna, like, shove out for a sec, but I won't be home late.
Okay. You were talking about me, right?
Oh, yeah.
Max smiles to himself and carries on tinkering. Through the slats on Bleeker's upstairs window blind, Juno and Leah can be seen scurrying to the Previa and driving off. Next morning, as the track team run past his house, Bleeker comes out of the front door. On the stoop, he reads a message written in chalk. Bleeker, check your mail.
The flower said, I wish I was a tree. The tree said, I wish I could be a different kind of tree. The cat wished that it was a bee.
He opens the mailbox and a torrent of orange Tic Tac packs cascade onto his feet. He grins in delight.
Over rooftops and then dive deep into the sea.
The running team sprint round the track. Bleeker breaks off as he spots Juno coming towards him past a lineup of cheerleaders rehearsing their routine. Smiling, he jogs to meet her.
And in the sea there is a fish that has a secret wish, a wish to be a big cactus.
Hey, did you put like 100 things of Tic Tacs in my mailbox?
Oh, yeah, that was me.
Why?
Well, you know, they're your fave. And, I mean, you can never have too many of your favorite one-calorie breath mints, so I just thought I'd...
Yeah, well, thanks. I think I'm pretty much set until college on the Tic Tac front.
You know, Bleek, I was thinking, and I'm sorry I was such a huge bitch to you. You don't deserve it.
It's okay, you know. It's okay.
And also, I think I'm in love with you.
You can meet as friends?
No. I mean, for real. Because you're like the coolest person I've ever met. And you don't even have to try, you know?
I try really hard, actually.
You're like naturally smart. You're not like everyone else. You don't stare at my stomach all the time. You look at my face, and every time I see you, the baby starts kicking super hard.
It does?
She takes his hand and places it on her tummy with her hands clasping his. Their eyes lock and he smiles.
Wizard. I think it's because my heart starts pounding every time I see you.
Mine too.
That's all I could ask for. Golden.
Can we make out now?
Yeah.
With his hands in the pockets of his brown sweatshirt over his skimpy yellow shorts, he kisses her and, standing on tiptoes, Juno cups his face. Her secret admirer watches sullenly and Leah, doing stretching exercises, grins.
Hey, you know, you can go into early labor sucking face like that. We're
not lovers. Juno gives her the finger, keeping her lips firmly stuck to Bleeker's lips.
You're so nice and you're so smart.
Later, she drives a Matchbox police car up over the crest of her enormous belly. The little car slips from her grasp and she rolls her eyes.
Just pretend I didn't tear your world apart.
Dad?
What?
Dad, either I just peed my pants or I'm...
Or?
Thundercats are gone!
Mac, Juno, and Bren come hurtling out of the front door with Liberty Bell in her ballet outfit.
Bean stickers!
Liberty Bell!
Oh, sweetie, sweetie, sweetie!
You're so nice and you're so smart.
Here we go!
You're such a good friend, I have to break your heart. I'll tell you and I'll tear your way.
In the hospital, Leah jokingly steers Juno's wheelchair into a gown trolley.
You're making
but it's fun. Fine. Ow, fuckity ow. God, Bren, when do I get that freaking spinal tap thing?
It's called a spinal block, and you can't have it yet, honey. The doctor said you're not dilated enough.
Oh, come on. I mean, it's like, I have to wait for it to get worse. Why can't I just have the freaking thing now?
Honey, doctors are sadists who like to play God and watch lesser people scream.
Shit.
Excuse me. Hey, can we get my kid the damn spinal tap already?
Bren. Keep pushing.
In the birthing suite, Bren, Leah, and a midwife keep their eyes fixed firmly on Juno.
You're a part-time lover and a full-time friend. The monkey on your back is the latest trend. I don't see what anyone can see in anyone else. But
I'll kiss you on the brain in the shadow of the train. Kiss you all starry.
And then,
my body swinging from side to
out
side,
of nowhere, there it was. There he was.
A squawking baby attached to his umbilical cord. Juno takes a long look at him, then closes her eyes.
I decided not to call Bleeker to tell him that I was having the baby. He had a big meet against Mentino, and I didn't want him to get all worried about me.
Bleeker breaks the tape.
Molly Bleeker has just broken a district record.
He looks round for her.
But he figured it out anyway.
He runs up the steps of the stand and away. In the hospital room, Mac is gently stroking Juno's hair as she lies on her side in bed.
Someday you'll be back here, honey. On your terms.
She nods sleepily. They both turn to the door and Juno's face lights up. Bleeker stands in the doorway.
Nice legs.
Mac gets to his feet and kisses Juno on the forehead. At the doorway, he looks Bleeker straight in the eye and lightly squeezes him by the shoulders, then goes. Bleeker comes round to the other side of the bed and pulls off his yellow sweatband. He curls up on the bed next to Juno, wrapping his arm across her chest, cupping her hand in his. She starts to sob.
Bleeker decided he didn't want to see the baby. Neither did I, really, and he didn't feel like ours.
A nurse comes to the door of the maternity ward and smiles at Vanessa, who's looking in through a window.
I think he was always hers.
Would you like to meet your son? I have a son.
Her porcelain white face looking nervous, Vanessa follows the nurse into the ward and stands over one of the plastic baby cots. The nurse picks the baby up and hands him to her. Bren appears in the doorway and smiles approvingly.
I'm here.
How do I look?
Like a new mom. Scared shitless.
Vanessa gazes into the baby's face and beams. Juno, wearing her birthing gown and her striped woolen socks, and Bleeker in his sports kit and trainers, lie curled up like two spoons on the bed. Juno starts to smile through her tears.
It ended with a chair.
An antique rocking chair in the baby's nursery. Above the white cot, the note Juno scribbled is mounted in a white frame on the pale yellow-painted wall. It reads, "Vanessa, if you're still in, I'm still in. Juno." Vanessa, sitting up in bed, her baby in her arms, gazes solemnly into his upturned face. She strokes the soft, downy hair above his ear and cups his head in her hand. The picture fades to black. Trees are bursting with blossom as the track team jog down a winding path. The word summer appears. Bren is sitting on the front lawn, bouncing two Weimaraner pups on her lap. Smiling Juno, back to her slim self, pushes her bike out onto the pavement with her guitar over her shoulder.
I don't like you, it just makes me sad whenever I see it.
She rides down a quiet residential street in bright sunlight.
As boyfriends go, Polly Bleeker is totally boss. He is the cheese to my macaroni. And I know people are supposed to fall in love before they reproduce, but I guess normalcy isn't really our style.
She arrives at Bleeker's house and props her bike against the front wall.
Hey.
Hey.
Bleeker is sitting on the low wall with his guitar on his lap. Juno sits down facing him with her guitar.
Ready?
Yeah.
Part-time lover and a full-time friend. The monkey on your back is the latest trend. Don't see what anyone can see in anyone else. But
here is a church and here is a steeple. We sure are cute for two ugly people. Don't see what anyone can see in anyone else. But
both have shiny, happy fits of rage. I want more fans, you want more stage. Don't see what anyone can see from anyone else. But
I'm always trying to keep it real. And I'm in love with how you feel. I don't see what anyone can see from anyone else. But
I kiss you on the brain in the shadow of a train. Kiss you all starry eyed, my body swing from side to side. I don't see what anyone can see in anyone else. But
the pebbles forgive me, the trees forgive me. So why can't you forgive me? I don't see what anyone can see in anyone else. But
they sit facing each other in the sunshine in front of Mrs. Bleeker's gable-fronted house.
I don't see what anyone can see in anyone else but you.
Juno stands up and plants a kiss on Bleeker's lips, just as the track team come jogging by. The picture snaps to black. Unit production manager Michael Williams, first assistant director Jason Blumenfeld. Cast: Juno McGuff was played by Ellen Page, Paulie Bleeker, Michael Serra, Vanessa Loring, Jennifer Garner, Mark Loring, Jason Bateman, Bren McGuff, Alison Janney, Mac McGuff, J.K. Simmons, Leia, Olivia Thirlby, Goethe Rouse, Eileen Ped, Rollo, Rain Wilson, Steve Rendazzo, Daniel Clark, Bleeker's mom, Darla Vandenbosch, VJ, Aman Johal, Sue Chin, Valerie T.N. Russell, Vanessa's friends, Robin Ross Frost, Grayson Grant, Robin Watts, Tyler Watts, Brandon Barton. Stunt coordinator, Scott Atea. Produced by Luann Halfen, John Malkovich, Mason Novick, and Russell Smith. Executive producers, Joe Drake, Nathan Kahane, Daniel Dubietsky. Director of photography, Eric Steelberg. Production designer, Steve Sacklett. Film editor, Dana E. Klauberman. Co-producers, Jim Miller, Kelly Connop, Brad Van Aragon. Music supervisor, Peter Afterman and Margaret Yen. Costume designer, Monique Prudhomme. Casting by Mindy Marin CSA and Kara Lipson. You think because your thoughts are songs, Tire Swing, My Roller Coaster, So Nice So Smart, I Like Giants, Reminders of Then, 1226, Loose Lips, written and performed by Kimya Dawson. Tree Hugger, Sleep, written by Kimya Dawson, performed by Kimya Dawson and Antsy Pants. Once I Loved, written by Antonio Carlos Jobim, Vinicius de More, Ray Gilbert, performed by Astrid Gilberto. All I Want Is You, written and performed by Barry Luis Polisar. Besame Mucho, written by Consuelo Velasquez, performed by Trio Los Panchos. A Well-Respected Man, written by Ray Davis, performed by The Kinks. Doll Parts, written by Courtney Love. I'm Sticking With You, written by Lou Reed, performed by The Velvet Underground. Dearest, written by Bob Gibson, Elias McDaniel, Prentice Herman Polk Jr., performed by Buddy Holly. Why Bother, written by Christopher McBride, Ryan Parker, Chris Kemp, Sugar McGuinn, performed by The Drop. Superstar 6, written by Bonnie Bramlett, Delaney Bramlett, Leon Russell, performed by Sonic Youth. Piazza, New York Catcher, written by Sarah Martin, Stuart Murdoch, Richard Colburn, Michael Cook, Christopher Geddes, Stephen Jackson, Bob Kildea, performed by Bell and Sebastian. Expectations, written by Stuart Murdoch, Richard Colburn, Michael Cook, Christopher Geddes, Stephen Jackson, Isabel Campbell, performed by Bell and Sebastian. All the Young Dudes, written by David Bowie, performed by Mott the Hoople. Anyone Else But You, written by Adam Green, Kimya Dawson, performed by the Moldy Peaches. Sea of Love, written by Philip Baptiste, George Corey, performed by Cat Power. Vampire, written by Leo Bear Creek, performed by Antsy Pants. The producers wish to thank Eleanor O'Connor, The Bridge Studios, Nike, Gibson Guitars, The Marpole Curling Club, Sutton Place Hotel Vancouver, Ethan Berger, Melissa Havard, Angie Hensley, Cozin Dan, David Cho, Tara McPherson. Rick Clark Productions, Creative Needle, Dallas, Eddie Lynn, BC Film Commission, Minnesota Film Commission, The People of Vancouver, White Rock and Burnaby, British Columbia. Copyright 2007, 20th Century Fox Film Corporation. The audio description was written by Veronica Hicks and read by Alan Blyton for IMS.